When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is powered by Poddex. Poddex are unique interview questions and episode starting prompts in the palm of your hand. So whether you're a new podcaster or existing broadcaster looking to grow your audience and have more meaningful conversations, you're going to want to check out Poddex. Now, if you want to get 10% off your order right now, you can go to poddex.com and type in coupon code. What's the code?
Larry21.
Yes, that's the code. Check out poddex.com. Take your podcast to the next level.
Welcome to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. We dive into stories of true crime, from unsolved cold cases to historic kidnapping to gangsters and beyond. We are your source for true crime. We thank you for listening.
In the shadowy aftermath of the 1972 Munich Olympics, a secret mission unfolded far beyond the eyes of the public. A story of vengeance, global intrigue, and the lengths one nation would go to seek justice. This is the tale of Operation Latham. Welcome to an all-new episode of True Crime Never Sleeps. This week, we are diving into the infamous Operation Latham. The mist in operation that was birthed out of the bloody Munich Games massacre. The Navy peeled back the layers of one of Mossad's most bold and controversial operations, and the tragic events that sparked this audacious hunt to the global stage were played out, and the intricate strategies employed to bring about justice. We're diving deep into the heart of Operation Wrath of God. So what we'll dive into include: what was Operation Wrath of God? Who was involved? Why did it happen? And was it considered a success? So if you're ready to uncover the answers to these pressing questions and explore the moral complexities on a mission that has become a legendary tale of vengeance and resolve, stay tuned. What you discover may surprise you, challenge your perceptions, and reveal the lengths to which a nation will go in the name of justice. And before we dive into the operation, give us a thumbs up if you like the videos, subscribe to the channel, hit that bell notification button when you notify future videos, and of course, leave us your thoughts in the comment section below. So before we dive into the actual operation, we're going to take a look back in August 1972. Munich, West Germany, marked the beginning of what was known as the Happy Games, or the 20th Olympiad. Munich aimed to showcase a peaceful, welcoming Germany, starkly contrasting the 1936 Berlin Games. The 72 Games were a symbol of global unity and hope. Athletes from around the world, including a hopeful Israeli team, coming together in a spirit of friendly competition. The Olympic Village embodying the game's ethos was notably open and accessible, reflecting a time the specter of international terrorism hadn't yet cast its shadow over such global gatherings. This openness, however, would soon be exploited in a way that would change the Olympics forever. In the early hours of September 5th, 8 members of the Palestinian group Black September steal the Olympic Village's fence, disguised in tracksuits and carrying weapons in their duffel bags. They made their way to the Israeli athletes' quarters. Their attack resulted in the immediate deaths of 2 Israelis, with 9 more taken hostage. The world awoke not to hundreds of athletic achievements, but the chilling reality of a live hostage crisis. As the day unfolded, the terrorist demands were broadcast global. The release of over 200 prisoners from Israeli jails. Negotiations dragged off. The global audience watched in horror as attempts to resolve the crisis peacefully stumbled. The standoff ended tragically at a local nearby airbase with a failed rescue attempt that saw the deaths of all 9 hostages, a West German police officer, and 5 terrorists. The massacre shattered the illusion of the Happy Games, revealing the vulnerability of peace and innocence in the face of growing global terrorism. The immediate aftermath resonated worldwide, leading to increased security measures at international events. In Israel, the tragedy was met with deep mourning and resolve that this act of terror would not go unanswered. It was a pivotal moment, signifying that the battle against terrorism was not confined to any single geography. It was a global challenge. This tragedy set the stage for Israel's covert mission, Operation Rapid Gun, campaign of retribution that would span continents and decades. It was a response that would test the boundaries between justice and vengeance, challenging moral and ethical conventions and relentless pursuit of what was perceived as justice. In the wake of the Munich massacre during the 1972 Olympics, where 11 Israeli athletes were brutally killed, Israel stood at a crossroads. The massacre not only devastated the families of the victims, but also left a profound scar on the collective psyche of a nation that was just over two decades old. The response to this atrocity would define Israel's stance on terrorism for years to come, and carve out a significant chapter in the history of international espionage and counterterrorism. Under Prime Minister Golda Meir's leadership, the Israeli cabinet made a decisive, albeit secretive, decision. The architects behind the Munich massacre must face justice, no matter their heights. This is not merely a call for immediate retaliation. It was a strategy for a long-term counterterrorism stance. The mantle for this daunting task fell on Assad. Israel's intelligence agency, renowned for its global network and covert operation capabilities, dubbed Operation Rapid Gun, the mission carried a name that signified not just a quest for justice, but a divine retribution against those who had spilled Jewish blood on the global stage. The primary aim of Operation Rapid Gun was clear: eliminate those directly responsible for any atrocity. However, beneath this straightforward objective lay multiple layers of strategic goals. Israel sought to deter future terrorist attacks against its citizens and interests, demonstrating that any armed Israelis, wherever it occurred, would not go unpunished. Beyond mere retribution, the operation aimed to infiltrate, disrupt, and destabilize Palestinian terrorist networks, especially Black September and the Palestinian Liberation Organization, which had orchestrated numerous attacks against Israeli targets. But Operation Rapid Gun was more than a military campaign. It was also a form of psychological warfare intended to instill fear among terrorists and their supporters, showcasing Assad's capability to strike anywhere in the world. For the Israeli public, the operation was a testament to the government's unwavering commitment to their safety and to seeking justice for the victims of terrorism, bolstering national morale during a period of profound grief and vulnerability. Executing Operation Rapid Gun posed significant challenges. The targets were scattered across the globe, often under the protection of sympathetic governments, were embedded within local communities. The operation required meticulous intelligence gathering, extensive surveillance, and precise execution to avoid civilian casualties and minimize diplomatic repercussions. Each mission was a high-stakes operation, a balancing act between the risk of international animation and the imperative justice in deterrence. The ethical and legal implications of Operation Rapid Gun are subjects of intense debate. The use of assassination as a tool of state policy, the sovereignty issues it raised, and the moral dilemma of surrendering vengeance versus justice sparked discussions that always shaped Israel's counterterrorism policies, but also influenced global norms in the fight against terrorism. The legacy of Operation Rapid Gun is complex, marked by its impact on the psyche of nations and the conduct of international relations and counterterrorism. It served as a stark reminder of the lengths to which a nation would go to protect its citizens and pursue justice. Shrouded in secrecy and controversy, the operation continues to be analyzed, debated, and depicted in media, embodying the ongoing conflict between security needs and the principles of law and right. Through this operation, Israel delivered a clear message to the world. It would not remain passive in the face of terror. With its blend of intelligence, ingenuity, daring, and controversy, Operation Rapid Gun remains a pivotal moment in the annals of international espionage and counterterrorism efforts. Operation Rapid Gun unfurled across a global stage, transforming diverse locales from the bustling cities of Europe to the political change charged environments of the Middle East, the backdrops for a clandestine campaign of retribution. This expansive geographical reach wasn't just a testament to Assad's operational capabilities. It underscored the immense complexities and challenges of conducting a state-sanctioned mission beyond national borders. The operation spanned continents, reaching into Italy, France, Germany, and Norway, each location selected for its ties to members of Black September and associated factions. Apologies for butchering these names, but I mean, it's one manner. Killing of Mohammed Hamshari in Paris, a tragic mistake in Norway, where an innocent leader was mistakenly targeted, highlighted the high stakes of operating in unfamiliar environments. Meanwhile, the Middle East, particularly Lebanon, presented a different set of challenges, with operatives navigating labyrinth of political and social dynamics, areas where hostility towards Mossad was palpable. Navigating these operations demanded not only logistical finesse, such as establishing covert identities in safe houses, but also a deep understanding of local customs to avoid detection. The movement of weapons and secure communication back to Israel were logistical feats, meticulously planning and executed under the constant threat of expulsion. Surveillance and tracking operations required patience and precision, often conducted over extended periods in foreign urban landscapes, where any slip could lead to diplomatic fallout or operational failure. Yet beyond the logistical hurdles, the ethical implications of Operation Rathakon loomed large. The operation's foundational premise, targeting individuals for assassination without judicial process, stirred profound moral debates. Each mission carried out on foreign soil approached a sensitive issue of national sovereignty, straining diplomatic relationships, and at times contravening international law. Incidents like the Lilyhammer affair, with operations reach extending into Norway with failed consequences for innocent men, spotlighted the operation's moral and legal ambiguities. For the operatives, the mission were not merely tasks to be executed. They bore the weight of its historical mandate, a response to the Munich massacre's deep scar on the Israeli psyche. The psychological burden of their secret war was coupled with the ethical quandaries of their actions. It was a constant campaign. The operatives grappled with isolation and stress of the undercover ops, often pondering the morality of the mission's underpinnings and its implication for the cycles of violence and retribution it was meant to address. Operation Rathakon's narrative is as much about Mossad's strategic triumphs and the adaptability of its agents as it is about the introspective journey into the ethical complexities of international encounters. The operation illustrated the delicate balance between seeking justice and navigating the whole landscape of retribution, highlighting the enduring question of how far a nation can or should go in pursuit of security and vengeance on international chessboard. In the aftermath of the Munich massacre, a determined group of Israeli leaders and covert operatives embarked on a mission, like we mentioned, that would indelibly alter the approach to international characters. The mission was spearheaded by key figures whose resolve and strategic insight orchestrated a global campaign aimed at exacting.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Retribution against the perpetrators. Golda Meir, Israel's prime minister at the time, stood as a pillar in this effort. As the first and only woman to ever hold the office, her leadership was defined by unyielding resolve, a profound sense of duty to ensure the security of the Israeli state and its people. Faced with one of the most challenging decisions of her tenure, Meir sanctioned an unprecedented response to terror. Relentless quest for justice that demonstrated Israel would not be intimidated by acts of terrorism. And apologies for butchering these Israeli names, but at the operational level was Zvi Zamir, the chief of Mossad, under whose guidance the intricacies of the Rathakon operation were devised and executed. Zamir's tenure was marked by a significant expansion of Mossad's international operations, reflecting a belief in efficacy, direct action against terrorist threats. His strategic vision and commitment to the mission were instrumental in tracking down and neutralizing members of Black September and related entities, thereby reinforcing Mossad's image as an agency capable of striking precision across the globe. Central to the execution of this audacious mission was the He didn't mean it. In elite fashion within Mossad, composed of agents adept in intelligence gathering, close quarter combat, and espionage. These operatives trained to operate under the cloak of absolute secrecy, responsible for carrying out the assassinations that formed the backbone of Operation Athaga. Their work, defined by meticulous planning and execution, was driven by a profound belief in a mission to righteousness, albeit tempered by the personal and ethical dilemmas such operations entail. The individuals behind Operation Rathagal navigated a complex web of ethical and operational challenges. The decision to engage in targeted killings on foreign soil brought to the fore significant questions regarding sovereignty, legality, and morality of extrajudicial actions. Despite these concerns, Mahir, Samir, and the operatives pursued their objectives with a clarity of purpose, driven by a shared conviction in the necessity of their actions to deter future attacks and to honor the memory of the Munich victims. This collective determination, however, did not shield them from reflecting on the broader implications of their actions. Those who orchestrated and executed Operation Rathagal were acutely aware that their decisions would be subject to scrutiny and debate for years to come. Their legacy encapsulated in a campaign that redefined counterterrorism, continues to underscore the perennial tension between the imperatives of national security and the ethical considerations of international conflict. Through their actions, the architects of Rathagal embodied a stark response to terrorism, embodying the narrative of vengeance, justice, and deterrence that remains a subject of discussion. Their efforts highlighting the enduring debate over the balance between the security of a nation, the ethical frameworks that govern international relations, and state actions. Operation Rathagal unfolded as a masterclass in the meticulousness of Mossad's counterterrorism and intelligence capabilities, showcasing that complex process from the identification of targets to their ultimate neutralization. This operation, rooted in the aftermath of the Munich massacre, wasn't merely about retribution. It was a calculated series of strikes, marrying state-of-the-art technology with the depth of human intelligence to ensure precision and vengeance against those responsible for acts of terror against Israel. The process rigorous identification of individuals tied to the Munich tragedy and other key figures within terrorist factions like Black September. Through Mossad's extensive network of informants, electronic surveillance, and scrutiny of public records, potential targets were carefully vetted, underlining the operation's commitment to precision and the imperative to avoid misidentifying individuals, which could lead to grave moral and political fallout. Following identification, the operation moved into the surveillance stage. Agents were deployed globally to monitor the target's movements, integrating themselves into the fabric of various societies to avoid detection while gathering intelligence. This phase often entailed operatives living undercover for months, if not years, employing a mix of traditional and advanced surveillance techniques to map out targets' routines and pinpoint opportune moments for action. The culmination of these efforts was the execution phase, conducted with the utmost discretion and a variety of methods tailored to each mission's specific needs, from shootings to bombings and even poisoning. These methods were chosen to ensure the target's elimination while minimizing collateral damage and maintaining operational secrecy. The operatives tasked with these missions were not only equipped with the necessary tools, but were also psychologically prepared to execute orders under extreme pressure. The operation's history is marked by notable successes and failures that highlights the operational complexity and the ethical dilemmas it presented. The assassination of Mahmoud Hamshar in Paris using a bomb detonated remotely exemplified Mossad's innovative approach and marked a significant early success in the campaign. Secondly, the killing of Hussein al-Bashir in Cyprus showcased Mossad's global reach and its strategic execution capabilities. However, the operation was not without its failures, most notably the Lillehammer affair, where the mistaken killing of a Moroccan waiter in Norway brought to light the inherent risks of intelligence operations, especially the danger of misidentification and the diplomatic repercussions of conducting such missions on foreign soil. This incident led to international condemnation and prompted a reevaluation of the operation's strategies. Through both its triumphs and tribulations, Operation Rathagal illustrated the logistical challenges and ethical considerations inherent in executing a global campaign of retribution It revealed the precision and potential errors within Assad's operations, reflecting the broader complexities of conducting a counterterrorism campaign across international borders. The operation's legacy, a testament to the intricacies of seeking justice in the murky waters of international law and diplomacy, continues to provoke discussion on the mechanics and morality of state-sanctioned retribution in the ongoing fight against global terrorists. The aftermath of Operation Wrath of God, Israel's targeted campaign against the architects of the Munich massacre, presents a multifaceted narrative marked by moments of technical triumph, strategic ambiguity, and unforeseen repercussions. This operation, born from a visceral quest for justice, achieved notable successes in eliminating several individuals linked to the atrocity, yet thus settled the broader implications of these actions, spanning the ethical to the geopolitical, beckoned a deeper examination. At its core, the operation sought to retaliate against those responsible for Munich, deter future acts of terrorism against Israeli interests, and underscore Israel's determination to protect its citizens globally. On these counts, the mission recorded significant achievements, methodically striking at key figures implicated in the massacre and sending a stark message to terrorist groups. However, the operation's effectiveness as a deterrent remains a subject of debate. While it might have momentarily disrupted terrorist networks, attributing a long-term decline in attacks following to these actions, overlooks the myriad factors at play in the dynamics of global terrorists. Some critics argue that the operation may have inadvertently fueled a cycle of violence, offering terrorist groups both a rallying cry and a recruitment ban, thereby perpetuating the threat it aimed to eradicate. Beyond the immediate realm of operational comes the fallout from Operation Wrath of God raises profound questions about the nature of justice, the ethics of state-sanctioned retribution within international legal framework. The operation stands as a seminal moment in counterterrorism history, embodying the inherent tension between the drive for security and inheritance, the global norms of justice and human rights. It reflects the dilemmas faced by states in navigating the murky waters of international relations in their quest to safeguard their citizens, the lines between justice and vengeance, between ensuring security and upholding moral and legal principles, often become blurred. In retrospect, Operation Wrath of God offers enduring lessons of complexity and terrorism within the ethical and legal standards. Legacy, while went through successes and missteps alike, serve as a poignant chapter in a broader discourse on societies pursuing justice and the moral paths detailed in such pursuits. The narrative of Operation Wrath of God, with its blend of decisive action and unintended consequences, continues to resonate, reminding us the enduring challenges of balancing the imperative of national security with the imperatives of international law and moral responsibility. Operation Wrath of God, initiating in the aftermath of a massacre, has deeply influenced the tactical landscape of modern counterterrorism and the cultural synergies of the nations involved. This audacious response to an act of unprecedented terrorism not only pioneered methods that would shape future counterterrorism efforts, but also sparked a global conversation about the moral boundaries of such actions. The legacy of this operation, while complex and multifaceted, continues to resonate, offering insights of the evolving nature of international security and the ethical considerations it entails. In the realm of counterterrorism, the operation introduced a paradigm that underscored the significance of precise intelligence, targeted assassinations, and the necessity for a state to project its power beyond its borders to safeguard its citizens. These strategies, marked by their focus on eliminating individuals deemed a direct threat, have been integrated into the counterterrorism policies of numerous countries. The operation's tactical successes demonstrated the potential efficacy of such measures in disrupting terrorist activities and networks, influencing the development of similar strategies globally. However, the ethical debates spurred by these actions concerning extrajudicial killings, civilian casualties, and the infringement on national sovereignty have also become a staple in discussions about counterterrorism policy, compelling nations to weigh the imperatives of security against the demands of international law and moral principles. Culturally and historically, Operation Wrath of God has left an indelible mark, permeating the media and the collective memory of societies. Through its portrayal of films, documentaries, and literature, the operation has been examined and re-examined, and a lens through which broader theme of justice, vengeance, and the human cost of conflict are explored. These narratives vary, with some glorifying the operation's pursuit of justice and others critiquing the cycle of violence it perpetuated. In Israel, the operation is often memorialized as a bold stance against terrorism, a reflection of the nation's commitment to defending its citizens at all costs. Meanwhile, other countries, particularly those where the operation's mission were carried out, served as a complex character, or chapter, in their own histories, with terrorism and counterterrorism raising questions about sovereignty, legality, and the global fight against it. Let us know your thoughts on this topic in the comment section below. And of course, hit that thumbs up if you like the videos, hit that subscribe button down below, and hit the bell notification button to be notified of future videos. And of course, if you want to support the channel, you can buy us a copy at buymeacopy.com/DCNS. As always, thank you so much for watching and listening. See you next time.
You have been listening to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. Thank you for listening. You can follow us on Facebook at True Crime Never Sleeps podcast and on Twitter at True Crime NS. And follow us on Instagram at True Crime Never Sleeps. Thanks for watching. If you want to support the show, buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS or become a patron at patreon.com/TrueCrimeNeverSleeps.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.